Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
And this week we are talking about healing and the general idea of it is, are you ready for healing? And this kind of came up to me. I was doing a restorative yoga practice, and at the end of the practice you're guided to rise with this sense of fullness of one kind of feeling or word that you want. And I sort of went healing, and then the message that came through from that was, are you ready for that? Because it might not feel like healing at first. Like when you ask for healing, you're not going to rise, you know, immaculate and free of all, you know, aches and pains of or whatever layer of being you're experiencing them. And that quite often, you know, healing is a process where you have to go through. You can't kind of jump over or skip or, you know.
It's a journey, a little bit like a whole yoga asana would be. It's a journey, the whole process of it from beginning to end. It's like there is no end. It's a dynamic process, isn't it?
Yeah, once if you manage to get through enough of your stuff that you can start dealing with more entrenched and older issues, you start healing your generational shits. It's an ongoing process, and I suppose the idea is that true healing, and I'm sort of not necessarily talking about physical healing here, although it can be, but more sort of emotional and energetic level healing, and is it can be really confronting.
Yeah.
And so the question whenever you're sort of looking for healing is, are you ready for that? And are you supported to do it?
That's a good point, because it's a term that's bandied around quite freely, but there is so many layers to it, and it's a little bit like, none of this is going off track, but I've experienced over the years of teaching, for example, in the tradition of Drew, we teach these energy block release sequences, and they're very powerful in releasing trapped emotional stuckness from the body. And I've seen people be quite shocked. So it's sort of come up quite unexpectedly for them, say, during a sequence, during one of these energy block release sequences. And it's brought up the emotion of sadness and crying or being anxious or what is this feeling? Not knowing how to cope with what's rising, or it's almost like, you know, when you shake up a fizzy drink bottle and you either rip the lid off really fast and it all spurts out, or you just slowly take the cap off and just fit your way with what's happening within you. Because while it might not always be physical, as you said, but our emotions sit within us. So they are felt in us physically in some way through the body.
For sure.
Yeah. Bringing up, you know, sadness, grief, crying. You know, I've certainly witnessed people crying after certain postures that's obviously shifted something. And I have heard from others that have said, that I haven't seen again, that have said, it was too much for me. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this. So this was too painful for me, this class, because of what they're holding on to. They're not ready to move in ways that might begin to release that for them.
I felt that after my first Drew class.
Did you? Yeah.
But it was too strong.
Yeah.
Where I was at the time. And the thing is, when that is the feeling, you don't really know what it is you're running away from, because you're not looking at it and you're not prepared to. You just get this sense of there being something big that you're not willing to deal with. And
it stops you coming back. And I find that's a little bit sad. And it's sort of always, whenever I've had a story, I haven't had a lot, but over the years there's been, you know, just probably a handful that have said, oh, I did come to you, but it was too much for me. And I felt really sad that I couldn't have helped them more if I'd known that at the time and not heard that, you know, a couple of years later, that we couldn't have taken a different approach. Or
I think that's exactly the thing, though, that message that came to me at the start was, if you're not ready for the healing, then nothing you can do is going to make you do it, you know. So they're actually honouring their highest choice there. In the sense of, if there was a message, the message to them was, you are not ready for this. And so forcing the issue, or, you know, sort of trying to get them to come at it from a different angle, like maybe that would work for some, but for a lot of people it's just going to be time and life will continue to unfold. And that's, you know, they will get to a point, you know, hopefully in this life or some other time.
Yeah, I suppose.
Where they will be ready, and that's part of the journey. There's nothing wrong with, and I think we get a bit judgmental about it for ourselves, especially when we have some practice and some understanding of how good yoga is for us and any kind of exercise and that sort of stuff, is we tend to get a little bit judgmental with ourselves of, oh, why haven't I healed this yet? Why haven't I done the work? I need to be, you know, moving more. And there's a huge kind of stigma around natural medicine practitioners being unwell because, well, you know, don't you know it all? Can't you prevent everything from ever happening to you bad? Like, and that's not how it works. But there's this judgment of, no, you got sick, but aren't you, you know, don't you have the herb that fixes that?
And yes.
Have all the right mental affirmations and, you know, but we're not fortresses.
And
being unwell is not a state that should be judged.
No.
As good or bad. It's simply an expression of something. And this is how you, whatever, however it manifests, whether it's an emotional disturbance or it ends up being a physical issue or just, you know, a maybe it, in blocked emotions can even manifest in vocational problems, you know. You might be stuck at work and it's an emotional block that's keeping you there, and that's how it's coming out in your life. And so, you know, all these things are just journeys.
And I suppose this is a nice conversation to have around honoring those journeys, I suppose, and I guess being able to sit with or be present with whatever's there. Because, you know, things can be overwhelming. This world is, you know, can be an overwhelming place. And sometimes we feel like we've lost our way. You know, some days will be good. Some days will be a bit more, we'll be a bit harder on ourselves and feel more stuck as though we're really trudging through the mud. And sometimes that can put a lot of pressure on to fix the problem or to feel better because people expect you to feel better. But, you know, instead of trying to change that, what if we could learn to sit with that and feel and be present to it? And that's all we're asking, really, not to fix anything.
But. No. I've often found that with any kind of, like with an illness or often with physical pain, stuff like that, that the way to clear it is to go deeper into it. And often it won't until I do that. But once I became aware of it, maybe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, but once I became aware of how much more quickly I would recover from, say, a cold or a flu or, you know, whatever illness it was, after I'd done some journaling and really dug into the emotional underlying factors, it would shift so much faster.
Yeah.
And so you would think then that the moment I start feeling a little bit run down, I would sit down and do that writing and shift it before I even have to get sick, but you don't. And sometimes even I will have a day of not feeling well or having a muscle ache or something like that, and I will stick with it for a day and I won't do anything with it because I don't feel ready.
Yeah.
And I know that if I go and try and write about that, I'm just going to write in circles. And so sometimes you do actually need to just go through. But then when it comes to it, and I sort of say to, you know, spirit, you know, like what is the way forward? And it's like it's feel into the discomfort.
Yeah.
Go deeper into it, which at first you feel like that's going to be a bit like the exploding fizzy drink. Like that's going to overwhelm you. But oddly enough, it doesn't. You actually get stronger the closer you get.
And
it's an interesting process.
It is an interesting process. And I've done a few things to myself over the years. And being as I am so opposed to going and getting any traditional help for these ailments, when I slammed my finger in the car door, and it's pretty messy. I just sat with, you know, it's interesting to sit with pain sometimes. It's like if you actually just focus completely on the pain and get past that overbearing part, there is a place where you can sit with it. I'm not saying it's very comfortable or would encourage people to do it unless you're, you know, wants to use yourself as an experimental lab. But it is interesting. It's interesting to sit with that sensation of pain and go deeper into it, because the end result was I did heal my finger without, in my own way, and the end result was very good. But otherwise you're numbing things out. So, you know, you have to be careful that you don't just numb things out.
I think trying to ignore these things is You know, it sort of ends up splitting your attention almost. Not only are you now not dealing with the issue, but you're also not able to focus on what it is you are doing. And so you're more likely to compound those injuries, like especially if it is a physical injury like that. And you just try and brush it off and ignore it and carry on. You are therefore compromised in your movement now and the more likely to injure something else.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomena, just sitting with it and being present with yourself. And it's probably one of the hardest things. And I think that's reflected back to us in society when you look at the behaviour of people and what we do for avoidance, as in we're attached to our gadgets, we feel every moment, you know, a lot of people can't even sit and eat a meal without something else to do while they're eating, as if that isn't enough to do. But, you know, they might have something they're listening to, or they might have their computer next to them and they're typing and eating. And
I don't really see anything wrong with that as long as you're aware.
Well, you're not really aware.
Hiding from something. But
it's one of those things of multitasking where, you know, if you're going to eat, just eat. And how much more nourishment could you take from that
food? Eating is so boring, though.
If you honoured that food. Well, make it more interesting, Kel. What are you eating?
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I think food is a. My philosophy towards food is mixed, in the sense of, if there was a pill I could take that would take care of all of my dietary requirements for the day, most days I would do that. And then I would save the actual eating experiences for times when I have the time to make something amazing. And when you're just eating for nutrition because, well, I've had a bowl of fruit, I need to eat my food for the day. I don't know. There's a lot in that. Probably another whole.
That's whole probably discussion. Another whole topic.
Gatherings around food is the best way to eat.
Yes.
And you're not focused on the food then. You will be in moments. You'll have pockets of, oh, this is amazing, and then you'll go back to the conversation. And the richness of your cultural experience with food shared in a cultural environment with a social setting is amazing. And so I don't think that we're eating is something that you should sit in the solitude and imbibe every bite with great reverence. I don't agree with that in general. I think it's an interesting exercise to do, and you should always savour your first bite or sip. But the taste buds become numb to the same flavor over and over again. So, it's a funny thing. But I think the biggest issue that I see with healing and avoidance is our reluctance to, one, admit that we're unwell when we are, and two, to sit with it, in the sense of how many people will just rush out and get cold and flu tablets or painkillers or, you know, try and go back to work with their injury or and almost feel like we judge people for being unwell or unfit and you're lesser for it. And what if you get a cold and you can just go, you know what, I'm happy to have this cold and I will sit on the couch and enjoy being sick for a day. Can you do that? Maybe not, but it's worth asking.
It was put to me once that to think of it as, oh, wow, this is an opportunity for my immune system to have a run. It's like, it's given the immune system a run. Let's see how it works, you know. And supporting it in all the ways that you can, but honouring the process of, and not pushing or blocking it out, because that will just make everything take longer. And that's a great example of, you know, taking a Panadol instead of looking more into why is this happening, and is there something I could do without blocking it out. Or cold and flu tablets are a classic. You know, they don't really help you in the long run. They just delay the whole healing process. So it's coming back to being comfortable and being willing to go into those deeper layers of oneself and sit in these experiences that we're having as a human, isn't it?
And I think you can, you know, there are times probably when you do want to try and ameliorate a symptom or something, and there are ways to do that that are probably safer and more sustainable than others. Just the idea that you wouldn't first sort of take a moment to acknowledge it even and sort of sit with that and go, okay, hello, hay fever, I see you. and then, you know, it's whatever it is that you're dealing with.
Well, there's a level of acceptance then, and I think when there's acceptance instead of like being in denial because you don't really want to face this, then that sort of clears the way for a faster recovery anyway. Acceptance situation.
It is a the point, I suppose, is it's a challenge, isn't it? It's any kind of request for healing is going to be a challenge. And so it's, yeah, it was just an interesting experience of me going, well, you know, I want healing on this issue, and the question put back to me by spirit, or however you want to term that, was, are you ready for it? You know, not that you can't have it, but, you know, is there anything else that you think you might want to build up first? Was kind of the thought. And the other interesting side of that is that maybe the healing actually, you know, you might think, okay, well, I want healing from this practice, but maybe what you actually need is patience.
Yes.
Or acceptance or self-love or motive or motivation, I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, an energy to move forward suddenly, like to get past something, or so it takes many forms.
It does, yeah.
And I think it's just about practicing that, feel into it, and be receptive to the messages.
To the messages, so you don't miss them. Yeah, and there's that sense of presence, being present to yourself. So maybe that's a good practice for the week, is to notice how many times are you being present to what's coming up in the moment.
Yep. Regardless of how you feel on any layer of your being. I think if we all sit with any layer for long enough, we will find things that can be attended to.
For sure. Interesting thoughts.
Oh, thank you for listening.
Thank you. We'll be back next week with more.
We will talk to you again next week. Bye.
Bye.